The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Amen. We want to welcome each and every one to the house of God this evening. We bid you all a very warm welcome, and we're thankful to see everyone who's been able to gather out tonight, and those watching in online, we bid you a special welcome tonight as well, as we are here tonight to worship our God and our Lord and Saviour. We're going to open our service tonight by singing of the hymn number 243. Find in your seats there, "Sinners, Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all who the heavenly pathway leave. All who linger, all who fall." We're going to commit our time to the Lord in prayer, so I invite you to please bow your heads with me, and let us seek the Lord's face and ask for his help upon this service tonight. Our gracious God and loving eternal Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity and privilege, Lord, that we have tonight to come into thy holy presence, the presence of our thrice holy God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the blessed Trinity, the three in one. And O our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our blessed Saviour and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, For Lord, it is upon his merit alone that we are able to approach thee, O God, upon the ground of redemption and upon the merit of his precious shed blood that was once for all shed for sinners abroad at Calvary's cross over 2,000 years ago. And Lord, I thank you that because the blood was shed, there is remission or there is forgiveness of sins to those who seek the Lord and call upon his name and ask him to forgive, and he will. And Lord, we praise thee tonight that we serve a risen Savior, one who came from heaven's glory, and Lord, who became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, yet Lord, he never ceased to be God. And we thank you, O Lord, that our Savior came into this old sin-cursed world, and Lord, he took a human nature into union with his deity. Lord, we thank you that he lived that perfect sinless life which none of us could ever live. And Lord, he not only lived for us, but Lord, he went the whole way to Calvary's cross. And there, O God, he bled and died in our guilty room instead, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place, condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And Lord, we just say amen to the words of that hymn writer tonight. And we thank you, Lord, that Christ willingly went the whole way to the cross. And there he died. But Lord, we just thank you that he didn't just live and die for us, but Lord, he arose again on the third day. And Lord, we praise you that the cross is vacant and the tomb is empty, Lord. We thank you that he is occupying his throne at thy right hand, O Lord, in heaven tonight. And we praise thee, O God, that Christ is alive forevermore, never to die again. And Lord, we praise thee that he ever lives to plead the merits of his precious blood. He ever lives, Lord, to intercede for us. He ever lives to pray for us and to be our mediator, the only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And Lord, it's him we want to think about tonight. It's him we want to be the very focus of our service of worship here tonight. Lord, we're not here to present ourselves. We're not here to present, Lord, a denomination. But Lord, we're here by the grace of God to present the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that he would be made much of here tonight. I pray that our eyes would be taken off the things of the time and the things that are temporary. And Lord, that our minds and our focus would be upon the things of eternal value, upon the blessed Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. O Lord, we praise thee for thy many physical and temporal mercies and blessings to us, Lord, today and throughout this past week. And Lord, we just thank you for thy many graces to us, Lord, enabling us even to be here. And Lord, for those who cannot be here and are watching online, we pray that thou wouldst bless them in their homes. We thank you, Lord, for the work here in Enniskillen. We thank you, Lord, for this light upon the hill, broadcasting and standing firm for the gospel in this wicked and evil day in which we live. And Lord, we want to commit this work unto thee. We thank you, Lord, for thy servant, the Reverend Porter. We pray thy blessing upon him as he continues to labor here week by week, O God, for every meeting that he has to conduct, Lord, whether in the meeting house or visiting the congregation or even out in the open air up the town, Lord. We pray that thou wouldst bless him and give him souls for his hire, I pray, Lord. Lord, remember his dear wife and family. Bless them. Bless all the grandchildren, Lord, as well, we pray. Lord, remember the session and the committee of this congregation. Lord, give them unity, I pray. Give them the mind and the will of God for every decision which they would need to take, dear God. And I pray for all of the workers associated with the congregation here. We thank you for them, Lord, who give up of their time, Lord, whether assisting in the children's meetings or the Sunday school or Bible class or even helping with the media and playing of the musical accompaniment. Lord, it's all a work for thee, or welcoming people at the doors. Lord, may it all be done to thy glory and to thine honor. Lord, we pray for every family member and every communicant member and friend associated with the congregation here. Lord, such a vast number of people, Lord, has such a vast number of needs. And Lord, we commit them to thee, and Lord, thou wouldst meet every one of them at the point of their need. Lord, we pray especially tonight, Lord, for those who have a spiritual need. We pray for those who perhaps are still in nature's darkness, and Lord, are still in that broad road leading them to a lost sinner's hell. Oh Lord, even the words of John 3:16 would come with freshness to their hearts, that there is a Savior from all sin, and his name is Jesus, and he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto him and be saved. Lord, we pray, if there be any and they're cold at heart, they're backslidden, that, Lord, thou wouldst restore unto them the joy of thy salvation, bring them back to their first love. Lord, bless thine own dear people, Lord. Encourage them in these days, Lord. Help us to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And Lord, we thank you that he endured the cross for us. And Lord, that we would never have to endure the cross or end up in hell. But Lord, we thank you that there is a heaven again for the child of God. But yet, O God, there is a hell to be shunned tonight. And I pray that sinners would shun hell tonight and come to Christ for the glory and honour of his name. Lord, we do pray for any in the congregation who have been bereaved. And Lord, we commit them to thee and to thy grace, the one who is the God of all comfort. And we pray, O God, that thou wouldst minister unto their needs tonight. Bless the sick of the congregation, Lord. We do commit them to thee, O God, who art the great physician. And we pray that thy hand of healing would be upon them to restore them to a goodly measure of health and of strength. Lord, we pray for this service tonight. Lord, I humbly ask and pray that thou wouldst give us help to bring a word of testimony and even to lead the meeting. And Lord, especially for our dear brother, Andrew Irwin, Lord, help him this evening as he would seek to read and to preach the word of God tonight. Lord, hide him far behind the cross and fill him with the Holy Ghost, I pray. And Lord, we just pray that thou wouldst continue with us now. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Well, at this point in our service, I would just like to bring a short word of testimony, as short and as brief as I possibly can. I just want to read a few verses from the Psalm 66. And the psalmist says in Psalm 66, and the verse 16, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me." Amen. Well, to be able to enter into the Whitfield College of the Bible, you need to have a credible word of testimony. And I want to thank the Lord tonight, before I say anything else, for his grace and his mercy in my own life, enabling me to be brought up into a home where I heard the gospel from a very early age. I was sent along to a local church in my hometown, where I heard of my need to be saved in Sunday school and in church as well. And at the young age of 8 years of age, I realized that I was a sinner and that I needed to be saved. And in simple childlike faith, I came and put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, fast forwarding on to high school years, and in my first or second year at high school, I started to have doubts of whether I was really saved or not. And I remember asking the Lord into my heart many times. You see, I wondered whether I was really saved or not. And you know, that ought not to be the case, because God has very clearly told us in his word, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." We think of Romans 10 and 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And even as we read John 3 and 16 this evening, you know, once we in simple childlike faith call upon the Lord for salvation, he will save us, and praise God, he will keep us. So fast forwarding on through high school years, I continued going to church and getting involved in the things of God in my church. But in my latter teenage years, I started not to read and pray as I should have been, and I began to grow cold in my heart, and I backslid and fell into sin. And I could not break free from sin. And this sin held me bound, and I couldn't break free. I couldn't give it up. And then, to cut a long story short, when I was 17, I stayed on at school to do my A-levels, and I was under deep conviction of sin at this time. And I seen an advertisement for a youth meeting in our common room at school called The Rescue out in Churchtown. And I went along to that monthly youth meeting, and I remember hearing the words of a man who gave his testimony, how he was brought up in a very strict brethren home and was saved, but he fell away from the Lord and became an alcoholic. But yet the Lord in his grace and mercy restored that man. And that testimony really spoke to me that night. And then a few months later, there was a gospel tent mission came to those youth meetings. This was July 2008. And I remember getting I missed the first week of the mission, but I got to the second week, and it was Sunday the 6th of July. And the man who was preaching that night was the man who gave his testimony a few months previous. And he read from John chapter 8. And the Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 8, "If the Son therefore shall make ye free," or "you free, ye shall be free indeed." And that word really spoke to my heart that night. And that's what he was preaching upon. John 8, 32 to 38. And in simple faith I came and I spoke with the man leading the meeting that night, broken over my sin and totally bankrupt, unable to deliver myself and to set myself free. And I was that night pointed to the psalmist David in Psalm 51, where he says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And I simply went my way back to the Lord that night, asked him to forgive me of my sin, to set me free, to give me the assurance of his salvation in my heart. And friend, I can testify truly, as well as I am standing here tonight, that the Lord heard my prayer. And it was as if somebody came in with a big crane and lifted the burden of my sin off my shoulders. And I had the peace of God in my heart, the assurance that I was saved and that God had delivered me and set me free from sin. And praise God, I've never looked back since. Oh yes, I've let the Lord down many times over these last number of years. I was 18 at that time, and in the will of the Lord, I'll be 32 next month. And I can truly say the Lord has been so good to me and faithful to me. He's kept me and he's provided and met all of my needs. And even in my early 20s, he exercised me about doing something for him. And to cut a long story short, I left the church denomination I was brought up in and came to the Free Church. And then the Lord challenged me about entering into the college. And I want to thank the Lord tonight, for by his grace I have reached my fourth year. And I'm looking to him for the next number of months till we get past another set of exams and see what the Lord will have for us in the future. But as I close my testimony, I just want to again give God all the glory and recommend to you my Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is able to seek and to save that which was lost. He is able to restore unto you the years the locusts have given, or the locusts have taken. And he's able to give you that true joy, that true satisfaction, which no sin or pleasure in this world could ever give to you. Amen. Amen. We're just going to sing again before we get Mr. Porter up for the announcements. And it is the hymn number 292. "Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus I come, Jesus I come, into thy freedom, gladness and light, Jesus I come to thee." A very appropriate hymn when I consider how the Lord has delivered me and set me free and lifted me out of my bondage. And praise God, he's the same, and he's able to do that for you tonight if you will but come to him.
Amen.
Amen. That's good singing. We're going to invite your minister to come now and to bring the necessary announcements, please. Thank you.
Well, we'd like to welcome everyone tonight in the Lord's great name. Good to see you all gathered with us here tonight. I know it's a wintry evening. We appreciate you all coming. And our prayers the Lord will bless you tonight around God's Word. If you're a believer in the Lord, may you be encouraged and strengthened. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, our prayer is that even tonight you'll come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Welcome all those as well who'll be listening in online. Our prayers the Lord will bless you also and meet you at the very point of your need. We give a very special welcome tonight to the students from the Whitfield College of the Bible. We're blessed through their ministry this morning, and we've been blessed already this evening through our brother's testimony. Welcome our brother Stephen Crawford from our Macrofeld congregation, and then our brother Mr. Andrew Irwin from our Lisburn congregation. We pray the Lord will bless them. I pray the Lord will bless Andrew in his final year. I suppose it's a big year for him. Not only is he planning to leave Bible college this year, but a few months' time as well to take on to himself a wife, and we wish him well in that venture as well. They know God's blessing with his fiancé and their new life together. But we pray the Lord will bless the students. Remember them in your prayers. Pray for the college day by day and all the members of staff and all the students, that God's blessing will be upon them. The announcements for the week are as follows. Tuesday night here in the church, 8 p.m., the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. We commend that to every believer. Trust as many as possible will gather for the season of prayer and Bible study on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. We'll be long to take the meeting, and that'll be followed at 9:30 by a meeting of the church committee. Ask the brethren of committee to remember that also, please. Friday night, 6:30, the weekly children's meeting here in Bethel. Remember the other children's meetings on as well during the week. Tresna Tuesday night, and then Maguire's Bridge on Thursday night. And then also here on Friday night at 8 o'clock is the Youth Fellowship. We commend that to all the young people. Trust as many as possible will gather for that time of fellowship. Next Lord's Day, the 27th of February, Sunday School and Bible Class, 11 a.m., morning worship service, 12 noon, the evening gospel service at 7. We'll be long to bring God's Word at both services, and both services preceded by a half hour of prayer. We commend the time of prayer to you, child of God. Trust as many as possible gather for the season of prayer before the meeting. As we mentioned this morning, there's also still a need for a lady to help with the church cleaning, Rhoda, and if you can help in this manner, please let me know, or the clerk of session know, as soon as possible. Do remember that matter prayerfully before the Lord. If you can help in this respect, do let us know as soon as possible. The offering to Miss Joanne Greer last week came to £1,110, for which we thank you sincerely in the Lord. Also, Bethel Church Session is commencing a telephone gospel ministry, a short 2-minute gospel telephone ministry. Our brother, Mr. Colin Maxwell, will be in charge of this. And that phone ministry will be advertised bi-weekly in the Fermanagh Herald and the Impartial Reporter. There will be prayer cards for that. Do take those out on the table on the porch there. And just pray that God would bless this gospel venture, that people would listen in and indeed be spoken to and be saved. And pray for Colin as he brings the word on those messages week by week. And do pray also for our brother, Mr. Colin Maxwell, and Noel Shields. Today they commenced a 2-week gospel mission down in Bessbrook Town Hall and County Armagh. So be much in prayer for that, please. Then just a short statement from our presbytery regarding the lifting of COVID regulations at public worship. And that statement just says, the general presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster gives thanks to Almighty God for looking upon our nation in mercy, withdrawing the more extreme symptoms of the COVID-19 pandemic, which have caused death and serious illness. We are grateful for the removal of all statutory restrictions upon our public worship and are authorizing our sessions and committees to take the necessary steps transitioning our people back to normality. We continue to pray for all who have been affected by the pandemic through bereavement and illness, that they will know grace and comfort. And we thank and praise the Lord for his goodness and mercy to us, even in the midst of all this situation. We don't take up an offering. The offering plates are at the rear there. So do remember that just as you leave. We'll hand back now to our brother Stephen, please. Thank you.
would like to thank Mr. Porter for the very kind words of welcome, and it's a joy and privilege to be here. And I think he maybe got the names mixed up. It's not Andrew's getting engaged or married this year, but it's myself. So I'd like to appreciate your prayers as we seek to finish our studies and embark on that great adventure of marriage, and we greatly value your prayers for that. And just before our brother comes to bring God's word, we're going to sing again. We're going to sing hymn 497. Wash me, O Lamb of God, wash me from sin. By thine atoning blood, O make me clean. We'll sing the first, the third, and the fifth verse tonight, please. Thank God for the words, the last words of that hymn, saved from all sin. And praise God, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And dear child of God, our sins are cast into the sea of his forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore. Praise the Lord. We're going to invite our brother, Mr. Andrew Irwin, first year theological student from our Lisburn congregation. Although you will be able to tell from his accent, he's not a Lisburn man, but perhaps he will intimate that himself. But we're going to invite him now to come and to read and to preach God's word. And may the Lord bless you, brother, and give you help.
I'd like to thank Stephen for leading the service this evening and for testifying. However, now I feel he's dropped me in it somewhat. He's saying something about my accent, so I feel I have to give an answer now. I was going to just let that sit by the side, but I'm going to have to address that. So, as you can tell, I'm not a Lisburn native, but I have spent most of my life in Glasgow. Some of you might know my family well. My dad is the Reverend Wesley Irwin, who is the minister of our church there in Rutherglen in Glasgow. So that's where this accent has come from. I do hope it's not too challenging for you and you can understand me. But if you have your copy of the Word of God, I'd like to ask you to turn with me to the New Testament and to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, and to chapter 8. While you're turning to that place, I'd like to thank the Reverend Porter even for the invitation to come here as students of the Whitfield College. It's a great privilege to be with you here, as a delight for myself as well. It's been a few years since I've been with you here in Bethel, but it's good to renew fellowship with you. But with the Word of God open, let's read what it has to say to us. Matthew chapter 8, and commencing at the first verse. When he, and that's speaking of Christ, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Amen. We know that the Lord will bless the reading of his inspired and infallible word to us. Before we come to the preaching of his word, let's bow in a word of prayer. Let's all still our hearts. Our Lord and our most gracious, eternal, heavenly Father, we thank thee afresh this evening that we have thine inspired word in our hands. We thank thee for the great privilege it is to be able to open it up and to read it and have that liberty to gather together as thy people to read from thy word and to learn what thou wouldst have to say to us. And so, Lord, we do give thee thanks for all that has gone forth in the service thus far. We thank thee for the praise we have been able to sing unto thy name. We thank thee for the testimony that has been given of thy saving grace. And we thank thee for the reading of thy word. And so we ask that thou would bless the reading. We pray that thou wouldst even apply the word to hearts tonight. O Lord, we pray thou would give to each and every person gathered in here in this building and watching in online a hearing ear to hear and understanding hearts to understand. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst work in a mighty way tonight. Lord, convert sinners, we pray. Convict them of their sins. And may they even ask, like that Philippian jailer of old, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Be with us now, we pray, in thy most worthy and precious name, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. There are many in this world today, and they are cast down and discouraged. Perhaps they are business people, and we know in these past few years times have been tough. And they have fallen on hard times, and the money isn't coming in, and they're discouraged. Or maybe there's someone and they're suffering with some sickness, or some ailment, or some bodily complaint, and they feel, I'm so distressed, I'm so discouraged, there's no hope. What can I do? I feel powerless to do anything. I don't think there's anything I can do to help the situation that I find myself in. Oh, they're totally despondent. They feel that they're out of hope. We would say they're at their wit's end. They feel, I've gone as far as I can. Perhaps you feel like this tonight. Perhaps there's some sorrow that's burdened upon your soul tonight, and you feel, I have no hope. I can't go any further. I don't know what I can do about this. Well, here in the passage we have read this evening, we have just such a man. For if we look there from verses 2 and 3, here is a man who felt he had no hope, and then he found Christ. For in verse 2 we read, "And behold, there came a leper, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Oh, here we read of a man, he was a leper, and he approaches the Savior. Here is a man, he finds himself in such a difficult and trying situation. He's an outcast of Israel. He's suffering from this hideous disease called leprosy, and yet he comes to Christ. There he was, without hope, with this condition, with this disease that would ultimately lead him to death. He felt, there's nothing I can do. But then he heard Christ was there, and he came to Christ. Oh, isn't this a wonderful truth? We've even been singing it already tonight. Christ receiveth sinners. Christ receiveth sinful men. Sing it o'er and o'er again. We've been singing that tonight. And here is a passage in the Word of God that tells us just that thing, that Jesus Christ receiveth sinful men. This man came to Christ with his need. He understood, here is one who can help me. Isn't it wonderful that we can come to Jesus Christ and he will not cast us out? We've heard that already in the testimony this evening. Those who come to him, he will not cast out. Oh, we have great truths and great promises in the Word of God. The Lord said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This man, he came with that desire. He came with a desire to be healed from his disease. He came with a desire to find peace and rest. And what a joy it is to know this man found just that. The Lord did not turn this man away, though others might have. This man found what he was looking for. And so for a while this evening, I want us to bear in mind what we have said and to look upon how this man was delivered from a hopeless situation. And so in the first place, I want you to notice with me the dreadful condition of the leper. This man, he's simply introduced and known in this passage of Scripture just as a leper. There's no name given to us. We don't know where he's from. We don't know anything about him except he was a leper. What was leprosy? It was a disease of the skin. It affected the skin of the body. It first came up just maybe as a small white mark on the skin. And then it spread over the body. It became like a boil, like a large spot on the skin. It began to flake. It began to crack. And the skin began to ooze. And then eventually it would cover the entire body until it caused a terrible time of misery and sickness. And then ultimately death. Something that started with just a small mark on the skin spread through the whole body and brought death. Though this man was alive, yet he was dying. He knew he was alive, and yet he also knew, I'm going to die. This condition will ultimately kill me. Oh, and really, can we not see here the similarity between leprosy and sin? There's a condition that leads to death. Oh, this man, he was not just slightly affected by leprosy. If we were to look at Luke's account of this man in Luke chapter 5, he says there, he is full of leprosy. It wasn't just a mark, it wasn't just a spot on his body, it wasn't just something concealed that you couldn't see, he was covered in it. Every part of his body was full of this leprosy. That's just like the sinner, friend. Sin affects man and his entire being. Sin affects the whole man. We know man is totally depraved. It affects every aspect of man. And this man here, this leper, he was full of leprosy. There's an image of the sinner. The sinner isn't slightly affected by sin. It has total control over them. But there's some other ways I want us to consider how there's a similarity between leprosy and sin. First, think upon leprosy was repulsive. It's a disease of the skin. It covered the body. It was boils and it was oozing. And this was a hideous looking condition. If I was to show you a picture of someone suffering with leprosy, you would be shocked and horrified by it. You would want to turn your eyes away. You would think, that's such a repulsive and horrible disease. Do you know Isaiah? He described the apostasy of Israel like a leper. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verses 5 and 6, or verse 6 really, it says, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That description is the description of a leper. The wounds and the bruises and the putrefying, that just means the oozing sores that covers the body. And that's how Isaiah described Israel, who had turned away from God, who had fallen into sin. This is what you are like. And sin is repulsive to a holy God. Did you know that? The Lord cannot look upon sin. Sin is hideous and heinous in the sight of God. Oh, Jeremiah, in his book, he speaks of God's displeasure of sin. He calls it the abominable thing that I hate. Sin is not something to be taken off lightly. Sin is a very serious thing. Because sin is repulsive to a holy God. God is holy. The angels in heaven cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. But sin is a detestable and horrible thing. But leprosy, it was not just repulsive, but it was unclean. For the leper who was contaminated with this disease, they were defiled. They had to cry that they were unclean, that they were contaminated with this condition. If you turn with me briefly to the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 13, and it'll be worthwhile keeping your finger in the place, for we'll be looking at this chapter a number of times, for this chapter speaks about the laws to do with leprosy and what the people of Israel were to do concerning that condition. But in Leviticus chapter 13 and the verse 45, we read how leprosy was an unclean condition. For in Leviticus 13 and the verse 45, we read there, and the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. Leprosy is unclean, friend. They were declared unclean. They didn't just have this condition, but they were actually declared as being unclean. And the sinner is declared as being unclean as well. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's that well-known verse. I'm sure many of us could quote that off by heart. But what does that tell us? We have fallen short of God's standard. We have fallen short of that holy standard. And therefore, if we have fallen, we must be impure. We're unclean. We're dirty. We're filthy. We need to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb that was slain. But the sinner, they are unclean before the sight of a holy God. But this uncleanness isn't just some superficial surface uncleanness that can be easily washed off. You know, if you went out and you were doing hard manual work, you get some dirt on your hands, what do? You go to the sink and you put some water on it and some soap and you wash it off and it's gone. Well, that wasn't the condition with leprosy, for we read there again in Leviticus chapter 13 and in the third verse. And it says partway through that third verse, in Leviticus 13 and verse 3, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. So this wasn't just some surface condition. This wasn't superficial. This was deeper than the skin. And friend, that is just like the condition of sin tonight. It is not some superficial thing. It's not something that's just on the surface or on your outward character. It's from the heart. For man's desires come from the heart, and sin comes from the heart, for our hearts are unclean. I wonder, is your heart unclean tonight? Have you been cleansed by Jesus Christ? Or do you still have a heart that is like we see here in verse 3 of Leviticus? It is unclean because it is deeper than the skin. Oh, but notice also that leprosy is not just repulsive and unclean, it causes separation. Because we read in those books of Leviticus and Numbers, etc., that those who had leprosy had to be thrust out from the camp. We could think of Miriam when she was stricken down with leprosy. She was removed from the camp for 7 days. She had to go away from the congregation, away from the tabernacle, away from the presence of God because of the uncleanness that was in her. Does that not remind us of sin? Sin separates from God. We read in Isaiah 59 in the verse 2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and God." Sinner, your sins separate you from God. You're away from His blessing. You're away from Him tonight, friend. Sin separates. But notice also that leprosy was fatal. I've made mention of that already. It wasn't just a sickness that you'd have for some time, maybe a month or two, and then you'd heal and recover. It led to death. The final outcome was certain with this disease. Those who had it would die. Oh, we know that's very true of sin. The wages of sin is death. Yes, it brings physical death, but friend, it brings spiritual death. Oh, fear not him who can kill the body, but fear him who can kill both body and soul in hell. Well, this is a very solemn subject. We're not just talking about the death of your body. We're talking about that eternal death in hell. Oh, Adam, when he ate of that forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden, he was told, "The day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die." Who's sinning against God? And what was the result of sin? It was death. And if you die in your sins tonight, there will be another death. That death in hell. Oh, this is very, very serious. A very serious subject we're talking about tonight. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. But we see something further of the seriousness of this death. Going back to that chapter in Leviticus, and Leviticus 13, and we read there in the verse 52 something else to do with this condition. For we see there that because of this defilement, because of the severity of this disease, it had to be destroyed. This disease, anything that was defiled by leprosy, was burned with fire. For verse 52 of Leviticus 13 says, "He shall therefore burn that garment, whether warp or woof, in woolen or in linen, or anything of skin wherein the plague is, for it is a fretting leprosy. It shall be burnt in the fire." There's the end of it. It was to be burnt in fire. And did you know that is the end of the sinner? If they do not believe and repent of their sins, there's that everlasting fire in hell. You know, so many don't like to talk about hell. They don't like to talk about damnation. But it's in this book that we read, this word of God, it speaks of that place of everlasting torments and hellfire. The Lord spoke of it in His earthly ministry in Matthew chapter 13. He said, "So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." That's the end of the sinner, to be burned in fire. And that leads us back to that first thing I said about leprosy. It's repulsive. It is repulsive, therefore it has to be burned. It has to be judged according to its nature. Perhaps you're here tonight and you are not saved. You haven't come to Christ for salvation. Do you not see the terrible nature of this condition that you have? Do you not see that it leads you to death? Will you not repent of your sin and come to Christ tonight? And you know, that wonderfully leads us on to the second thing I want you to consider tonight. And we think upon the discernible confidence of the leper. For if we read there in verse 2, it says, "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Well, this is very notable that the leper came to Christ. It's made very clear in this verse that he had faith in his power to save him from this disease. Faith is vitally important. This man came to Christ, and there's a discernible confidence in the way that he came to him, because we see he came remarkably. Matthew says there, "And behold, take heed of, pay attention, a leper came to Christ." Why is this remarkable? Well, we said already, he was cast away. He was out of the city. The leper was not to be with the general society, and yet he came. Despite his suffering, despite the shame, despite the scorn of others, this man came to Christ. I wonder, perhaps, are you worried what some might say about you if you come to Christ? Do you worry the scorn that people might throw in your face if you come to him tonight? This man had no thought of that. He just saw, I have a need, and here's one who can meet it. But he also came humbly, for he worshipped him. Now, the word here for worshipped, it doesn't necessarily mean in the sense that we would think initially as in worshipping him as God. For he must not have known much of the person of Christ, for his ministry had only just begun, and yet he knew enough. He knew enough, here is a man with power. Here is a man who has power to heal my disease. Here is a man who can meet my needs. Here is one who has power over such matters. And so he came humbly. Again, in the other Gospels that record this, we read that he besought Christ. We read that he fell on his face before Christ. He did reverence. He understood, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of thy help. I'm not worthy of the least of thy mercy. He was conscious of the fact that here is one who he doesn't have to help me. I have a great need. He doesn't have to do this. But that's the great thing about mercy. It's undeserved. And this man found mercy in the sight of Christ. But notice he also came purposefully. Now this is a very simple thought to say, and it barely needs to be said. Why did he come to Christ? Well, those last words of verse 2 make it very clear. He says, "Thou canst make me clean." He understood, I am unclean. He understood, I need to be cleansed. He had that purpose in his heart. I'm coming to Christ to be cleansed and to be made whole. You know, being saved, it's not about escaping punishment. It's not solely about being with loved ones in heaven. Yes, these things happen. But at the heart of it is understanding you're a sinner before the sight of a holy God. Recognizing that you have sinned and seeking his forgiveness for your sins. Recognizing you're not worthy of the least of his mercy, but that he came to save sinners. Oh, this man, he was very humble. He understood his need. He saw his unworthiness. And he saw here as one who is able to save me from this condition. And he came believingly. He believed that Christ was able. For we see there in his words, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." He believed he was powerful enough to save him from his leprosy. Now, it must be said, he doubted his willingness to save him. It must be said, no leper had been healed by Christ at this point. But yet he still believed, Lord, thou art able. Thou canst heal me. I know thou hast power to do this. He believed in Christ's power. And that's what the sinner must do tonight to be saved. Believe on Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved. That is a promise of Scripture. We've already said those who come to Christ, he will in no wise cast out. But it's all based on faith. By grace are ye saved through faith. You must believe. You must believe on the one who has power to forgive sin. You must believe on the one who died on the cross and shed his blood. You must believe on the one who can forgive your sins. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can take away your sins. He is the one you must believe on tonight. You know, this man, this leper, maybe had heard of how others had been healed from their diseases. A few chapters previously in Matthew chapter 4, we read of a multitude who had divers diseases and they were healed. Perhaps he'd heard about how these people had come to Christ and they were healed from their diseases. Oh friend, don't think you're too hard to be saved. This man had a disease that at the time was incurable, yet he believed. Don't believe that you're so far down the path of sin that you cannot be saved. What hope there is for you tonight, that what Christ has done for others, he can do for you tonight. I also want you to notice in the third place, the divine cleansing of the leper. For upon hearing the earnest request of the leper, we see a marvelous act of the grace of God in verse 3. First of all, the Lord touched the man, and then he spoke those wonderful words, "I will, be thou clean." Well, this man, he knew that he couldn't heal himself. We've gone over that already. He knew that he didn't have the power within him, but he believed Christ could. He had doubted Christ's willingness, and then Christ says, "I will. I will heal thou." But this verse 3, and the healing of the leper, it really shows us some wonderful truths of the person and work of Jesus Christ. For we see the sympathy of Christ here. He put forth his hand and touched him. He touched him. In Mark's gospel, we're told that he was moved with compassion, and being moved with compassion, he touched him. He had sympathy for this man's condition. He understood how he was suffering, and therefore he touched him with his hand. Though we have misery, Christ shows us mercy. Though you might be suffering in your sins, yet Christ can save you from your sins. Oh, what mercy is found in those words, "I will." What mercy that Christ was willing to save and to help one who is despised and dying. And the Lord Jesus Christ can show the same sympathy to you tonight for one who is suffering and dying in sin. He is willing to save you now. Oh, God has a sincere desire that you would be saved. It says in the Word of God that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What sympathy there is, that there is a plan of salvation for all to be saved. We don't just see the sympathy of Christ, but we also see the sinlessness of Christ. For though he touched the leper, he was not defiled with that leprosy. Leprosy was a disease passed on by close physical contact. If you touched someone with leprosy, you could be contaminated. And yet, the Lord did not take upon him that leprosy. Does that not remind us of the sacrifice Christ has done for us? He who knew no sin, did no sin, in him was no sin, yet he became sin for us. Isn't that a marvelous truth? He did no sin, had no sin in him, and yet he bore our sins on the cross at Calvary. Him who was sinless bore our sins upon him. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19 that we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He was without blemish and without spot because he was pure, he was perfect, he was sinless. And yet he bore upon him the wrath of God for my sin and for your sins. He took upon him the wrath and the penalty that is due for us. But notice also we see the saving power of Christ. For he gave this man life. He who was dying was given life. He was saved from his leprosy. That condition that was going to kill him was removed from him. And he was able to live. There again we see the similarity with sin. When one is saved from sin, the penalty of it, eternal death, is removed. The Lord said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 11, "For the Son of Man is came to save that which was lost." Here's a man who was lost. He had no hope. He was dying. He had no prospect of being cured. And then he found Christ. No man had power to save him. No doctor, no physician, no friend, no religious leader. Only Christ could save him. Only God is able to forgive sins. No church can forgive your sins. No minister, no priest, no man on earth can forgive your sins. Only Jesus Christ. Will you not come to him tonight, friend? Will you not repent of your sins? For he is willing and able to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Well, not only was he made clean, but he was pronounced clean. Well, we'll just mention this very briefly. For if we look there at verse 4, the Lord sent him on to go to the high priest and to offer the gift that Moses commanded. This was to pronounce him clean. Yes, he was cleansed from that condition, but he was shown that he was clean. When the sinner is forgiven their sins, they're pronounced clean. They're pronounced as righteous before God. Because Christ has purchased for us that white wedding garment, that garment which is spotless. God the Father looks upon it, and he sees no sin. It's all removed from us. Oh, we read of that in Revelation 7, verse 14. "These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." I wonder, do you have one of those robes tonight? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been to Jesus for his cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? What an encouragement this is for sinners today to come to Christ. What encouragement that you can come to him and be cleansed from your sins. This man was made whole, and you can too. A society would have nothing to do with this man. They shunned him. But Christ welcomed him with open arms. We've already said it, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." By grace are you saved through faith. This man believed in Christ. Have you believed on him? Have you believed on his power to save you? Have you repented of your sins? Won't you believe this evening? Won't you come unto him? I'll just think upon those words of that well-known hymn. It says, "Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word." Only trust him. Only trust him. He will save you now. Oh, I wonder, will you do that tonight? Will you put your trust upon him, and he will save you now? Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Lord and our most gracious eternal heavenly Father, we thank thee for the great truths of thy word, that those who come to thee thou wilt not cast out. We thank thee that there is a fountain open deep and wide, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. O Lord, we pray that thou wouldst even convict some soul this evening, that thou wouldst show them their sin, that thou wouldst point them to thy wounded side, and that thou wouldst even show to them that there is a Saviour from all sin. Oh, we pray thou would bless thy word that has gone forth. We know that thy word shall not return unto thee void, but shall accomplish that which thou hast sent it. Lord, bless it, we pray. Be with us, even as we part our ways. Bless us, we ask. Continue with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.